the late, great Aretha Franklin from her album Aretha Now, 1968. And what a great way to start out this morning. I've had to block out a lot of nonsense on the news. And why not follow my horoscope free clearly so I can get to what I like to do and be positive. And this is how I'm going to start out this episode of Tinfoil Whisper Reading, my podcast. I got a lot to talk about, and I got a lot of music that I would love to share with you. This is great that I'm starting out with the late, great Aretha Franklin, because I'm going to be talking about her biopic, Respect, starring Jennifer Hudson, an amazing movie, as well as talking about what I'm eating, the Afghan occupation and the fall of that government. Was it expected? Yes. Did the Biden administration ignore clear signs? Yes. Cuomo and the descent into sociopathy, and what August means to me. And all songs played throughout this episode is available now on to stream on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. I got a whole bunch of great merch on my Dell's Angel Inc. blog. Check out the shop. I'm going to be adding my Nogger, which is my main moniker, t-shirt later on today. Check it out and let me know what you think. As well as navigate to my online bookstore, Chatterbooks, to pick up something to read. Delta variant ain't no joke. And I will be talking about that too. Just general COVID shenanigans and tomfoolery. So you're going to need something to keep your mind occupied, so you can think about what y'all are trying to do to the system. That is the late, great Aretha. Let me. Franklin, from her album Ain't No Way. Aretha Franklin, Lady of Soul. And this is a great way to introduce this next section, because the music that I'm going to be playing, of course, is available to stream on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. And it's also included in my one podcast playlist. But this movie was just so moving to me. I risked going masked to AMC 18. And it tells a story that now I get every song and her pain basically showed through. And throughout all of those and throughout all of that, she became who we are, made music that became the soundtrack of most of our lives. Anybody that cares about music and every genre of music, Aretha plays a prominent role in that. Now to the part of the podcast, my opinion on the biopic Respect, starring Jennifer Hudson and featuring, of course, our Lady of Soul, Aretha Franklin.
So, I'm going to say that I've spent my morning listening to music and also looking for other ways to create music. And I'm a bit tone deaf, but I can see an area of my forever home where a mini baby grand piano can go, and I can actually take online lessons, and I'm getting pretty jazzed about that. I've never thought about or had the opportunity to even think about or consider having my own piano. And granted, it's not, I would love to be able to graduate to a real baby grand Steinway or something more an antique, but that's not in the cards. I have to figure out how to replace or restore wooden windows and some other things, redo my pool area as I progress in this thing called home ownership. But what has spawned all of this was because I got up this morning listening to Aretha Franklin, and because I had the opportunity to see her movie this past weekend starring Jennifer Hudson. And in a great word, the movie, the director had a great statement this morning on CBS News where she basically had talked about how she envisioned the movie, and she wanted to. There was a lot of focus on her pre-Aretha life because there was a lot. They admitted that there was a lot of denial in how she had to approach life because there was no way she could have survived without a great amount of denial. And how to be true to the story without upsetting her or negating her memory or her legacy. And it was brilliant because she came up, the story starts out with Aretha in her when she's not even 10 years old. It goes through the loss of her mother. It goes through where there was an instance of molestation or rape because she actually had her first child before the age of 12. There's always been rumors who was the baby's father, but it was alluded to it was someone within the family's inner circle that really looked like the father, but her father, but that's neither here nor there, and it ain't none of my business. It also looks at how her initial introduction or force into the music industry was her father controlling her voice, picking the songs, picking the wardrobe, and she was not who she wanted to be. It wasn't until she broke away from her father, got up with another abusive man that was kicking her butt pretty predominantly. And through all of that, she gave us all the hits that were soundtrack to most of our lives. But before I even get into the details of the movie, because none of this is spoiler, a lot of the people that have followed her career, none of this is going to be a shock or a surprise. So there's really no real spoilers. It was just the how well it was portrayed on the screen. And I don't think I can do it justice by me just basically talking about it. But going to the movies, let's just start back up. Going to the movies in the middle of a pandemic is actually kind of annoying because I'm fully vaccinated, but a lot of these fools in Hamilton County are not. I always go to the movies and I try to get to the earliest show as I can because I go to the AMC 18. And I actually am a stockholder, and I'm also very annoyed by a lot of the things that this movie theater does not do. First thing, these are just some of my observations. Standing in line for popcorn. Girl, just pre-order. You're gonna have to do that. And make sure you show up on time 15 minutes beforehand, schedule the show, and just pre-order because you're gonna get a 10-party little girl party that's going to see either Boss Baby or that guy or the good guy or whatever animated movie is out there, and you are not gonna get your stuff. You're gonna leave the line, even the A-lister line, ticked off because you ain't standing for 30 minutes trying to get some damn popcorn. Just pre-order. The only people that were talking loud in the movie was some hard-hearing old white ladies that were sitting in front of the theater. They were just talking all loud on the preview, and that just actually got on my nerves. I counted 14 black folks in the whole movie theater, and the 40 people in this 300-seat theater was still too much. But what I did not get is, and what I noticed is, if you buy your tickets online, and even if you buy it at the movie theater, you are freaking assigned seats. Please sit in your assigned seat, because there are a certain amount of us that always sit in the same seat in the middle, J8, and we don't want anybody freaking around us. And if you are in my seat, I'm going to ask your ass to get up. But there's a whole bunch of group of people that won't do that. And it was like all of us, the 14 of us, were actually within a certain way, in a certain, I just realized this. We were in J, H, and G. And we were still 2-3 seats between us. But I know those mugs, that's not the seat that they chose. And they were tripping. And some other white folks had chose those seats. But they came in and just sat off to the side. They weren't going to ask all those people to get up. But just out of respect, y'all, sit in your assigned seat and stop it. And also notice that if you notice that you are in a lower number of seats, those start at that first door. But if you are in higher seats, go. That's at the second door. Don't go to the second door, but your seat is J4, because I'm going to be ticked off if you come in the second place, because that means you're going to have to drag past me. That's why I sit in the center. That's why I don't want people to keep going back and forth. Realize, attention to detail, choices, people, choices. Also, even in spite of the old ladies talking all out, I did catch several of the previews. There is another remake of Cinderella is going to drop with Billy Porter as the fairy godmother. We didn't ask for it, but I'm glad it's here, because I'm for it. And I'm excited to see that, because he can rock a gown. Oh my God, I'm so looking forward to that. I'm not so much looking forward to that little skinny Hispanic chick that's getting ready to play Rella, but whatever. I just want to see Billy Porter. Nobody asked for West Side Story remake, and I'm not there for that. And there's a Dear Evan Hansen movie that's getting ready to drop that's going to make you cry. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to. I'm going to have to probably see that in parts, and I'm not going to be in the right frame of mind to basically watch that. So I may have to watch it in parts, because it is a real tearjerker. Now back to Aretha. Music will save your life, because because that's what James Cleveland told her. Even in her most dark moments, her mother had died before her 11th birthday. She was actually raped probably during that period of time. And then she just basically stopped speaking. And then her father was frustrated with her because she just burst out into tears. But what drew her back and kept her together, in spite of her depression, in spite of her, and she was alcoholic there for a minute. And it took her mother appearing to her to basically pull her back to where she needed to be. And it was absolutely amazing, because the music, her music is so much a part of my growing up. I'm so stupid. The only thing that I have not spoke to my father in many of years, but he was a DJ, and I know he has an amazing record collection. I just want the records, because I realized digging through my paltry vinyl collection, I only have 2 Aretha Franklin albums. I have her Live from Paris, and I have her 69 hits, which are some of her older things before she actually got her rhythm. But at least on From Paris, she actually sang It's Respect is on there, and it's a newer pressing, actually from Korea, believe it or not, that I actually got in a secondhand store. But it is amazing to me that in addition to looking for mini grand baby pianos and potentially having piano lessons coming up soon, I actually will be, I'm also looking for Aretha Franklin albums. I'm probably going to have to get a newer pressing of Amazing Grace, which was her highest grossing or highest selling album as far as numbers. But also I'm going to look for new pressings of all of her hit singles. I think they may actually be on 45s. Natural Woman by Carole King. And what is another song? It's Respect. And there's also, I'm going to have to go to my, iTunes and pull up some of her I Never Loved a Man Like I Loved You, Say a Little Prayer, Chain of Fools, A Deeper Love, all of these great songs. And that's not even the tip of the iceberg. She was a hit maker after she left her father. And also, what struck me about her music is I didn't know she was a headliner or opener. And she toured with her father. She would get the church and everything because he was a minister. He was a sipping saint, a minister, very abusive, but he was also a drunk because he liked his bourbon. And I think it was Sam Cooke. She basically reiterated the best sex he ever had was with church folks because they're some of the nastiest people. But that's a whole different other story. You can't be sipping and tipping and kicking your wife and your children's butt or raping them on when you're not on the stage. You have to carry that whole persona even into your personal life. But a lot of people did not have that balance. But that's just me. But her music influenced the likes of Jennifer Hudson. I didn't know until this morning or forgotten that she had auditioned for American Idol with an Aretha Franklin an Aretha Franklin song, and how the songs and how gangster she was basically a part of who she was and a part of that persona. And how people, how she allowed, initially she had to allow herself to try to fit somebody else's mold, but it wasn't until she knew what she wanted, until she had to break away, although it was completely painful, how it was, but it was necessary for her own salvation and for her own professional success, which I find to be absolutely amazing. So if I can tell you anything, it will behoove you to go and to see this movie. I don't know if I would wait or could wait until it came out on streaming services. I would get your hand sanitizer, your double mask, and go through it because it is an amazing story.
They don't know I do it for the culture, goddamn. They say I should watch the shit I post, oh goddamn. Say I'm turning big girls into hoes, oh goddamn. They say I get groupies at my shows, oh goddamn. All the rumors are true, yeah. What you heard, that's true, yeah. I fuck him and you, yeah.
I absolutely love Lizzo. Rumors, my rumors are not as interesting as hers, but even rumors within families and people speculating about stuff about your life that they know nothing about. How amazing to start this part of the podcast. Most people don't know. I don't care if I'm tracked or not. I hate all people, just so y'all know. Doesn't matter what color y'all hate. However, I tolerate a lot of people, and a lot of people tolerate me, but I don't care. What I was about to say is I don't care about being tracked, because all they're going to find out is I'm either going to the bathroom, getting in my pool, or eating or cooking. And I'm just, this next part of the section is about one of the things that I really love to talk about, food. So I hope you enjoy Rumors by Lizzo and Cardi B. I was told that the video is also pretty amazing too. It may not be to everybody's taste, but so what? And enjoy this episode of Foodie Corner. On blocks overseas, a lie in a language I can't even read. The fuck do this mean? I'm a Bronx bitch with some pop hands. Nothing but your food. You treated me mean. You treated me cool. Well, have y'all ever really listened to those lyrics of Aretha Franklin, Chain of Food? I'm sure she was probably singing about either her husband or boyfriend or even her father, for that matter of fact. I did a whole part of this podcast dedicated to my feelings about her biopic Respect. And what struck me is those lyrics, because those lyrics not only apply to her experience, it applies to these next two parts where I talk about Cuomo and his treatment of women. The way he treated these women were not in any way in a relationship. He was a whole 360 degree asshole to these women. Sexually harassed them, used his position of power to brutalize and to subjugate these women. So no, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is he treated them bad. He treated them cruel. He made them feel like a fool. And also, I'm sure that the people of Afghanistan that thought we were going to be better than we actually have, and this withdrawal from Afghanistan, I'm sure they all feel like a chain of fools. We got people clinging on to C-140s and dropping to their death. We got women desperately handing their children to the American soldiers because they're so desperate to get out, because they know what the Taliban stands for. They don't believe the hype. And I'm starting to feel that this administration thinks that we all foolish, that they did not listen. And you can't say, well, of course it was going to be chaos. No, it wasn't supposed to be chaos. What was supposed to happen is, they told you 60 days ago, probably longer than that, that we should have withdrawn and should have gotten everybody, allies, Americans, and the like, out of that bitch. Because what they were, the Afghanistan government knew they were stalling, because this is what tripped me out for several things that tripped me out. One trips me out that they wanted to safely get their government out and leave the Afghani allies and Americans behind. And they knew it was going to be chaotic. They said, well, wait, But they were just trying to get themselves out, get their money out, and get their government to a safe place, which I think is cowardly and ridiculous. That's number one. And number two, and you can say this is a conspiracy theory if you like, but that whole Doha treaty that was negotiated specifically with the Taliban was negotiated in bad faith on both sides. Pompeo and this scorched earth mentality to American diplomacy over the previous 4 years was to negate everything truly that Obama had. How dare a black man, number one, hold on to the government for 8 years as a Democrat and have all of these great hits, got bin Laden and double down on our security in that area. And we became even more respected without being a freaking dumbass bully. So we got to do what can we do to screw all of that up? We're going to create this ridiculous treaty with a terrorist organization, and it's going to be complete surrender. That is what Doha Agreement is. And we're going to keep screwing up stuff, dismantle everything that you built 8 years in 8 years in this whole scorched earth diplomacy just to get back at this black man and to be angry and to have even greater dissent and to make the next administration look even more horrible. What really just makes me all happy and unhappy is the inability of people that do really have sense to make sensible decisions. And that the whole evacuation and chaotic evacuation could have all been prevented, not just for the optics, just for the sheer relief of another ongoing crisis. Not only do we have to worry about terrorists, we have to worry about just humanitarian security of the people that are hundreds of thousands of people that are trying to get the hell out of here, and worry about reinsurgency of in a really a wholly ungovernable country. All of this could have been prevented if we had started from the beginning. Trump should have never been elected. He should have never had these any inept people in positions of power. And this administration should have listened to the intel, because I honestly, now I'm really annoyed that this honestly could have been prevented. So now on to, I'm going to go ahead and just post and talk about the next two sections are the Afghanistan occupation and the meaning of that. And I think I get into the debacle that is the evacuation, and then Cuomo, the descent into sociopathy. You talk about a chain of fools. These next two sections are explicitly.
So what other shenanigans have I been listening to on the news? In the most recent weeks, we've seen an insurgency of the Afghan and the Taliban. As we withdraw, they are headed towards Kabul. And I started wondering, has it always been this way? And what was going on, or had I just not been paying attention as much with when Russia occupied? So, but that area's been in dispute since 329 BC, when Alexander the Great and Darius ran through there, circa 500 BC. So it's not like any of the war and any of the turmoil is new. It's been going on for a millennium, really has been going on for a millennium. There has been conquerors from India. Genghis Khan rode through there. And then it was invaded by several other Arab conquerors. And then Islam took root. Towards the 19th century, Britain was trying to protect India from Russia, which tried to annex Afghanistan, and it resulted in a series of wars. The last most devastating one came towards the end of World War I when Russia-backed government and the the ultimate colonizers came in, and then Russia took a firm hold. They had Amir Abdullah Khan, very much was concerned about Afghanistan falling behind the rest of the world as far as socioeconomic reforms and being forward-thinking, which is contrary to everything the Taliban stands for when you think about it. He establishes a monarchy, declares himself a king, goes on, and then his policies were too much, I guess, too liberal, and he was kicked out and he abdicated. He leaves the country. Then Zahir Shah becomes king, and then there's a new set of kings from 1933 forward. Even being recognized by the United States in 34. And then as Britain withdraws from India and India becomes their own country, leaving behind decades long colonizer-like thinking, and they have just evolved. They're trying to evolve from that with some shenanigans on their own. But formerly left there, and then a pro-Soviet general, Mohammad Duad Khan, who's a cousin of the king, becomes the prime minister. And he starts a series of social reforms, including allowing women more public presence. Nikita Khrushchev helps. I think before he gets bumped out. 57, 65, and then in 73, a new regime comes in, the People's Democratic Party of Afghanistan, which is all but not democratic. They overthrow the king. And then even firmer ties are established with USSR. And there was a period of significant unrest from 75 to 77. Then that king gets ruler, prime minister gets killed. Another ruler, Nur Muhammad Taraki, this is 78, y'all, of the Afghan Communist Party, he takes control. And then he basically says, we don't need the Soviet Union anymore. And then there's a series of conflicts where one of American ambassador Adolph Dubs is killed. We cut off assistance to Afghanistan, and then a power struggle ensues. And then the USSR formally invades Afghanistan. They stay for 20 years. And then they get kicked out or they leave, withdraw. And then we come back in, 9/11 happens, and then there we have been for 20 years in retaliation for the attack on the World Trade Center. And then we should have left right after Bin Laden was found and killed and executed. We should not have stayed. I don't honestly believe we should have stayed for the 20 years and lost 2,000, over 2,000, close to 3,000 American soldiers, that and contractors. And I think it was completely ridiculous, the loss of life and the expense, the $2 trillion expense that we spent over there. Because what we're seeing is the resurgence of the Taliban. It seems like what they've done is they just lay in wait. They wait for another colonizer. This is a pe person, people that are formerly colonized. They know what they want and they're going to get it at all costs. Nothing's going to change their mind. They're going to let other countries like the USSR and now us build up their country, and then they're going to come back, and as we leave, they're going to take over everything. The problem is, if they're not more moderate in their stance, what they're going to do is either they're going to kill everybody that got some damn sense, or all the people that got some damn sense are going to flee. And they're going to be, and it's going to take them less than 20 years to tear everything back up again. They're going to demand, when people finally get tired of being tired, somebody else is going to invade. As the mind of colonizers do, instead of letting them take their own lumps and figure this crap out by themselves. You know, we don't have a right to interfere with the tomfoolery and shenanigans. The people themselves are going to have to find a way forward and find a way together to keep up the infrastructure, to make sure that their people are educated, that they have enough of a workforce to keep their government running without the aid from the international community. They're going to have to figure this crap out themselves. And nobody is. It should be in a position to give up and be Captain Save-A-Ho to people that don't want to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, fine. Good luck with all of that. But what you can't do is behead people that don't have the same beliefs as you. You can't force women into slavery and other people into slavery just because of their sex or gender. You can't do any of that. Until you really figure that out and you really get to the meat and the potatoes, the crux of what your beliefs are, because the original beliefs had equality for all of you guys and allowed people to be educated, completely different from the foundation of your original country and the foundation, the original statutes of that you say you believe in. What is this whole belief of an entire gender being subject to that. That is contrary to everything, any tenet of any Islam, any Islamic tenet that I've ever heard of, and it is some type of man-made perversion. So until you figure that out and you're willing not to be that dude, you're always going to be in strife. You're always going to be a pariah on the national or international scene. And your country is always going to struggle because the tenets that you propose, that you believe in, and you want to subject people to is not doable and it's not sustainable in this modern world. And until you figure that out, you're always going to have an issue. Do I feel some kind of way about what's going on in Afghanistan? Yes. Do I think it was a wasted 20 years? Probably not. If the people, it would have been, if I truly believed that it was sustainable, possibly, but obviously it wasn't, because each one of these major cities would not be falling like a domino with little to no resistance from people that we supposedly help. And now we have to be urgently, the rest of the Americans have to be urgently evacuated, again, putting our soldiers at risk for people that really didn't want to be helped. And we should have known that. We could have figured this out over 20 years ago. And it should have been drawn down, and we should have gotten the hell out in early 2000. But then again, I'm just an armchair historian looking at the same data and saying, That's the definition of insanity. It's this area has always been in strife, and what we got into was persistence of a war that was a leftover of the leftover remnants of the Soviet colonial occupation, and this ended up being an extended occupation, which was a complete waste. There was no way we were going to basically change the dynamics of a people and of their society that did not want to be changed when they've been operating like this since 500 BC. Are y'all kidding me? Why are y'all expecting to go in there with a whole bunch of different ordeals and a lot more money and expect a different result? That, to me, the waste of resources, to me, to allow it all to fall into some people's hands that don't know how to maintain it, that to me is a waste. And I just can't despise. I hate insanity, I hate stupidity, and I hate waste. And this whole episode in our history and our dealings in this Afghanistan occupation is very disheartening. And I can't stand it because, I don't like waste. The waste of it all is what irritates me the most. Cuomo and the descent into sociopathy. So, I'm going to read you this verbatim from the full investigational into sexual harassment by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo. And besides, if you're going to read something, why read fiction when you can read true to life stuff? You can't make this shit up for real. But anyways, it says, this is how the conclusion of this report reads. Based on the investigation and as it set forth in greater detail below, we reached the conclusion that the governor sexually harassed a number of state employees through unwelcome and unwanted touching, as well as by making numerous offensive and sexually suggestive comments. We also conclude that such behavior by the government was part of a pattern that extended to his interactions with women outside of state government and was enabled and facilitated by a culture within the executive chamber of secrecy, loyalty to the governor, and fear, as well as the normalization of inappropriate comments and interactions by the governor. Finally, we conclude that the executive chamber's response to a number of sexual harassment allegations violated its internal policies, and that its response to one complainant's sexual harassment allegation constituted unlawful retaliation. In a nutshell, Governor Cuomo, or former Governor Cuomo, because as of this recording, has finally resigned. Not only is he a whole ass, but all of the people that surrounded him and covered up his debauchery are also 360-degree asses. And why did I name this in A Descent into Sociopathy? Is he a psychopath? No. Psychopaths have no moral compass and But both psychopaths and sociopaths lack empathy. A sociopath is an extra special cray because they know what they're doing is wrong and they still gonna do it and bump anybody that catches them. What makes this more so offensive is we see a definite ramp up in just horrific behavior. Cuomo was first elected in 2011, and it was around 2012, 2013 into the end of his first term, beginning of his second term, as his popularity swelled, as his became even more popular because of all the proactive, socially and fiscally responsible decisions he had made for New York. He had been elected for a second term. So he was making the rules that he had no intention of following. And it all was increasing. And Level Up or another anti-sexual harassment for Hollywood. they basically, I mean, their association with him, he just became more and more popular. And he just kept up in the ante, because if you look at, when you read the report and you look at the timeline of his transgressions, it didn't really start or reported until 2013. And that was unwelcome comments and just a lot of verbal abuse from one of his first admins. And then in 2016, after harassing someone at some reception, he actually hires her into the administration for $120K for what it actually equates to a low-level administrative assistant. And then she became subject to continuing sexual harassment. And then, of all people to harass, he harasses a trooper on his detail. And he just kept up in the ante. Then dragging people to his office and going up underneath shirts and grabbing breasts and grabbing ass and outlining an energy official's T-shirt. And then saying some dumb shit. I'm going to just say that I saw a spider on your shoulder. Over and over again, over almost over a decade, he has done and continued and to be allowed to do egregious, unlawful things, basically breaking the law that he had actually instituted. That's sociopath right there. Not only do they not think that rules apply to them, they do. And then obviously they can make up the rules and then willfully and knowingly break them. We have seen in our society where people have come back from shit like this. Most recently, that sociopath that led our country down this rabbit hole of shame and PTSD, the former occupant of the White House, Trump, that saying shit like grab him in the pussy and actually raped and tried to make her, that porn star be quiet, pay her off, and she wasn't quiet. However, what I can't understand is when he still kept staying in the White House, got past impeachment twice, in fact. So, also, they point to Marion Barry of D.C. fame smoking crack on video and then getting reelected to serve another whole term as mayor of D.C. We got a whole administration, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and I think the state's attorney, all of them got into some foul shit. And as of today, all of them are still in office. Could Cuomo have come back from all of this? He chose to basically double down and say no, never admitted to any culpability, and never admitted to any that he was going to get help. Because if he had came out, and because this report is damning, all 168 pages is very damning, but it does read like a snuff film, if you ask me, a badly orchestrated porn flick, if you also ask me. But if he had came out, admitted, not some dumb produced crap, because what he actually did does rise to the level of a felony or at least a misdemeanor. And it's some really impeachable shit. You know, if he had said, you know, admitted to his wrong, admitted his culpability and saying, I'm actually getting help for it, I think he could have kept his seat. Because it's admitting that you are human and you have fallen short and you are willing to do the work to actually correct it. Not that I'm completely invincible and the rules that I made and signed into law don't even apply to me. And I can act like a whole ass and get away with it. Nah, bruh. You're going to have to pay for this. And you paid for it with your job. He should have, if he was never going, had no intention of apologizing and no intention of seeking therapy, then he should have apologized way and resign way before this 168 report came out, because there's no comeback from this. He still can get charged, and he still can get impeached even after he has left. But it makes the now first woman governor of New York her job even harder, because people don't trust government anyways. But how much more is it going to be harder for them to think about trusting government and government officials when you got a whole ass, a criminal unwilling to do the work and unwilling to admit when they're wrong? Yes, I've seen greater things than anything. People not come back from certain things, or come back from certain things. Shit, Marion Barry, keep pointing to him. But this was all handled. There was no Olivia Popes in Shondaland to get him out and to spin this one. And he really needed one. He needed to listen to reason. It's obvious his inner voice or his moral compass is completely turned off. Obviously, he probably wasn't listening to his little brother, because this could have been dealt with very, very and spun a whole completely. And it would not have led to his impeachment, and it definitely would not have led to him being forced to resign. And shame on you for hurting all of those women. Shame on you for creating a culture of intimidation and retribution when you should have been just been doing the job. You were on a short list of people that could have been president. We don't need this kind of nonsense, definitely in the Democratic Party, and definitely the people of New York. And shame on you for not admitting culpability. I'm going to hope that to hit your dumb ass in the pockets. Because you, from a financial standpoint, oh, bro, you're not going to be able to handle this at all. And how can you look your daughters in the face knowing you would deck throat punch any man that would have treated your daughters like you treated these unwilling women, that you are their ultimate superior? How dare you? And just absolutely shame on you. But that's how you roll as a sociopath, that you're going to pay for every last bit of it. I'm good, I could have another, but I probably should not. I got somebody at home. It's been a long night here and a long night there. You can say whatever you want to about me. My taste in music is very eclectic. This is Stay True from a Single Pill. And why not start this part about when I talk about COVID shenanigans and tomfoolery with this. This song just cracks me up. And it does make me happy. But when I talk about COVID and some of the numbers that I'm seeing are not. Remron is going to make mad bank, because now that they have found that if you give that particular medicine early on in the diagnosis, it can decrease the severity of your illness, as well as getting a vaccine. Two things. Stay your ass at home, wear your mask, wash your hands, and get vaccinated. That's all I got to say about that. Now on to COVID shenanigans and tomfoolery.
Happy Saturday morning. I'm sitting outside with a hovercraft of a bee-looking horsefly little thing that every time I spray my Raid, it just dodges. I caught an old black cat on my porch a few days ago, and I know the mug has been sitting up here. I'm glad that I used polyurethane and Raid when I finally got my chairs and cushions and everything set up, because I'm sure this mug is flea-ridden. I didn't see a leash, and it's a stray, and I think that's how I got fleas at my last place, because this mug set up shop would lay across my porch, and the fleas jumped off of it, got into my house, and laid eggs, and then I paid the price. Well, not today, Satan. So every time I come outside to get the paper, I spray. And I also spray because I don't like bugs. And as I sit on my front porch reading the paper and preparing to record this part of the podcast, COVID shenanigans and tomfoolery, I think this is a great place for it, for me to record. So here we go. As most people moved, I've relocated from one part of Northside, just like maybe 1,500 feet away, maybe 2,000 feet away, to my forever home. This week has been full of activity. I've had the pleasure to meet two great companies because I'm thinking about changing out my windows to something more energy efficient. And I'm probably going to have to go on pause because I also live next door to the fire station. They're really good about not blasting their horns or sirens, but we'll see. I just heard the bell go off. But anyways, this is probably the last part of the day that I'm actually going to be able to comfortably sit outside. And it's already warm. It's at least 75 degrees or so. The humidity, even for this time of day, is not sticky yet. But, you know, it's going to be crazy in a very, very short period of time. I'm blessed to be able to live where I live, and every single day I will say blessed. But as I said, you know, where do I get my inspiration and what to talk about in my podcast? It's not all that hard. You can watch the news and you can actually watch and read the paper and get some type of, you know, like some type of idea. And COVID is in the forefront because we have a virus that has been aptly named by another healthcare provider as the virus against humanity. It's no joke. When it first came out, it was wrecking, and now there are all these variants that are even more diabolical than the original, and people are still doing dumb stuff, like marching to school board meetings and threatening to attack healthcare workers and threatening this, and we got a dumb-ass governor, DeSantis in Florida, that's threatened to withhold pay on school officials that pass mass mandates against them. It's like it's a horrible game of chicken. You know, you see your hospitals burst into capacity and you're like, well, that's okay. Or you're turning a blind eye and you're saying you still have these COVID deniers and they're saying that this is not COVID, but they are taking over gift shops, putting overflow in tents. The waiting period for a bed is hours or days in some respects, and these large metro area hospitals are going on divert because they can't take, not only can they not take another COVID patient, they can't even take heart attack patients. So I don't know, COVID is not only causing people to filling up the hospital, but they're also people that also need things that you still have to take care of, like cancer patients with cancer patients with fever, or patients that are having massive heart attacks. It's also causing a prolonged and delay of care of those patients because these COVID people are just filling up. I don't mean to be hardcore about this, but we have a tool and you chose not to use it, but you're overtaxing my health system and I still have to take care of you. The absolute stupidity of that has not been lost on me. You know, you want to not wear your mask, you want to go to these gatherings, and you want your life back, but you don't want to follow the rules. But you demand excellent care at everybody else's expense. That is the pure definition of selfishness, that it is not lost on me. The only way that we're going to break the cycle of Delta is if more people get vaccinated. The only way that we're going to stamp this down at all is if people stay home, wear their, and if you have to go out, you're going to have to wear a mask, and you're going to have to come, when you come back in, because you had to go out, you're going to have to wash your hands. But it's actually very simple. I wish I could just lay next to the pool all day, because there's very few reasons why I actually have to go outside these days. One of them is just to get the paper so I have something to fuss about on my podcast. But also, me sitting next to the pool is a reward for me to unpack more boxes. And I can choose to do that if I want to, because, again, it's my house. And I don't have to invite anybody over if I don't want to. But what I do hate is when we got government officials that keep saying dumb stuff because they want to flex their power and they want to look like a big dog. But what they're doing is equating to just very stupidity, and you're looking more and more foolish, that you're not doing whatever it takes to protect your people. What you should be doing, instead of threatening to not pay people because they are absolutely doing their job to protect other people's kids, but what you should be doing is on a crusade to encourage your citizens to get vaccinated, or encourage social distancing, or encouraging masks, you know, within your own inner circle, instead of spouting something for clicks. Your popularity is not going to mean anything if a majority of your population is either sick, dying, and where will that lead you? I think you should really think about that before you make these ridiculous claims. And for those fools that attacked the healthcare workers, good luck with that. I hope they don't see you on the flip side in the ICU, when we know you could not only possibly get COVID once, you can absolutely get it again. And I also tell you this story because I want to go over just the push for the vaccine, even in spite of the low incidence of side effects. One of my relatives, a cousin, first cousin, is he a first cousin? Yeah, first and second cousin, if you look at it. But anyways, he got one dose of the vaccine and developed true chest pain and was diagnosed with myocarditis. Went into the hospital, diagnosed, and then recovered from that. Then he went back into his office and was exposed to a member of, I don't know if it was a staff or a member of the congregation, that did have COVID and didn't tell anybody, and exposed him, and he got it again and had to get hospitalized again. Then I had an aunt and her husband and her out of control diabetic's daughter. They all caught COVID and they refused to get vaccinated because they said they had too many other comorbidities. You're black, you have these comorbidities, you're the ones that actually should have got vaccinated, but they never got vaccinated. And the out of control diabetic, I just think, well, my sister told me that she just recently got out of the hospital after a prolonged hospitalization. So I say all of this to say, what is wrong with y'all? We still have a high vaccine hesitancy. Oh, and the other thing is, assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam, my goofy ex-brother-in-law is still spouting anti-vaccination rhetoric that is not proven and anti-science. The conspiracy theories, everything that he says is not correct. It does not cause infertility. It does not. There are some significant side effects, the gastroenteritis, sometimes the fatigue. It can cause, like my other cousin had, myocarditis, very rare, but I would risk. But what we do know is COVID will kill you and it can leave you severely debilitated. You can have a stroke, you can lose your arms and legs, and it can cause fertility and fertility as well as miscarriages. That is as if you get natural COVID. It can do all of those devastating things. The vaccine, none of those things are associated with the vaccine. So which one would you get? So I don't get vaccine hesitancy when there's some real side effects, but I think the risk, the benefit outweigh the risk. I think there are a lot of people that are doing a lot of stupid things that not because they don't care about themselves and they don't care about other people. And I also think that they need to go sit down somewhere. It is not child abuse when you make a child wear a mask. It is child abuse when you force them not to wear a mask and you refuse to get them vaccinated when they are eligible for a vaccine to protect them against something. I think people in this country, these sovereign citizens, are taking things a bit too far. There are personal freedoms, but if to protect my personal freedom, I'm going to put everybody else at risk, that's not personal freedom. That actually is being a terrorist. That's when you start to pass over to zealotry. That's when you have truly crossed the line. I am not going to put my community, my city at risk because I refuse to follow the rules. And if I have to have some type of limits on personal freedom, not only to save my life, but to save somebody else's life, then so be it. And I don't understand what the issue is with that. Why people have taken just wearing the freaking mask to the other extreme. You know, this is to protect us and other people. This is to protect a life. And that's the only way I see it. So if I have to do it for a longer period of time, then so be it. If I have to go on my own strict quarantine, then so be it. Because I got to protect myself if nobody else. If I don't have a governor that's not willing to do it. If I have other people, so-called people that live in my neighborhood that won't refuse to do it, then I'm going to have to take it upon myself. And that's all I got to say about that.
If you're not drunk, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to get fucked up. Let's do it. Ha ha. LMFAO, you know it. Let's go. Yeah. All of the alcoholics, where you at? Let's go. Hey. 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 Hey.
Everybody shot, 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 everybody.
You can truly say I have a very eclectic taste in music, from Bach, Little John, to Rihanna, you name it. Aretha, it is on my playlist. And finally, as I tape and record and produce this podcast, what a great way to introduce this next section, what August means to me. I had planned on doing more recordings about my thoughts in the run-up to my birthday, but why? I don't feel like it. I can if I want to. That's when you actually have a passion project. You can record when it feels good, because I think that makes a better product. You know what I mean? So enjoy this next session. August is. August means to me 2020 August to
2021 August is a completely different time, and also appears to me to be a completely different world. I sold property in North Carolina that I had held for over 20 years in less than 60 days. I'm on this new journey on Forest Avenue here in Tennessee with my pool. Have not figured out the heated part of it, and a monk mouth dog named Ethel Mertz that seems to be happy when I feed her snacks and Krispy Kreme donuts, not necessarily in that order. My journey has been one of discovery of food. What can I cook? Mostly ramen and perfect seafood additions, additional toppings. Where can I eat with places, seafood and places that serve fried gizzards? Northside is not a food desert. What I lack in restaurants, of which there are many, I still have the opportunity to order whatever I want between dinner delivered, DoorDash, Grubhub, and the like. I get to write unfettered, even though I really haven't been writing as much. I can wax poetic about places of Rooster Comb and the like, which has a great appetizer comprised of the best fried and seasoned catfish I've tasted in a while. And I'm lucky to experience all of this in a very awesomely appointed outside garden when it's not too hot. And also, I'm just waiting for people to come cut my grass because my dog won't go out in the grass because it's too hot for her because she's little. I get to watch amazing things. I broke down and went to view the biopic Respect at the AMC Theater, of which I am a stockholder. And I'm obsessed with a show called Fuck That's Delicious. I've never heard of Action Bronson or his Milk Dud Head sidekick Mayhem, but they make an unlikely but funny duo and trio when you add the other country but from the Bronx white boys that make up their crew. I'm re-binge watching All Stars 4 and I'm living for it, and downloading and listening to and bopping to RuPaul's music as well as the other queens. And just living for the lip syncs for their lives, pretty amazing. Everybody seems to have dropped a single, an album recently. Lizzo and Cardi B did. Nas did. Kanye didn't, y'all. So stop holding your breath because it ain't coming. What August means to me, besides my birthday and the heat of the day, it's the birthdays of my cousins, Jason and Lanisha. And I get to spend it in pretty comfortable safety in the confines of my house, extending my self-isolation because I really don't want to get sick. I'm pretty much not going anywhere until I can get my booster, which was just approved by September. And I get to continue to discover those things which actually make me happy and may actually entertain others. I want to expand my brand, my media brand, not just take pictures of the stars, but figure out how to characterize my dishes as food porn or as art. I'm really digging that aspect of it. I did a promotion that increased my followers on Instagram to almost 1,400, and I'm living for that. I'm just looking for to create further dishes to be able to post, because people are just like me. They like to eat, but they also like to see evidently good food. And if I could make it pay, then so be it. How amazing is that? I actually am finding out that if I find out I'm good with something, at something, I can figure out how to monetize it. And in the heat of an August day, I can sit next to my pool if I like, but it's getting ready to rain today. I can listen to my music or stream RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars if I want. But through it all, I'm having fun. And that's what August is to me. I'm having fun. And I think anyone that's listening to this, my unproduced prose, you should be having fun too.
That's Rock Steady by Aretha Franklin, Young, Gifted, and Black. This is when she transitioned to the natural hair and the sounds of the 70s, and I'm all there for it. I hope you enjoyed this rich, soulful edition of Tenfro Is Reading. I did a lot of fussing, a lot of commentary on things that I think affect all of us, and I'm hopeful I dispel some of the misinformation about COVID. I hope this starts your weekend on a high note. Don't forget to navigate to Chatterbooks and pick out something to read on your porch, as well as check out the new Dale's Angels Inc. shop. Both links are in the notes for this podcast. And as always, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend and rock steady.